Excellent. The rest of you are dismissed. Talking to, we got a prayer request. What was it, a couple weeks ago now from, what's her name? I already got her name ready. Is it Elizabeth? Yeah, Matt's wife, Matt Morris's wife. And she had mentioned that his dad was dying. And so I texted him this morning just before we came over here and asked how his dad was doing. And he called me. And he said, "Oh, I thought you knew. My dad passed away on Wednesday." And so then he was talking about it. And we were both getting worked up. He started talking about the funeral. And it was a Catholic funeral. And he said he hoped his dad was saved. He had an opportunity to talk to him many times. But his family, he's still having trouble with his family. You know, his family's just gone. And he said he had spent 4.5 hours studying to write a 2.5 minute paragraph to be read at the funeral. And he said at the funeral, his family decided to eliminate what he had to say and read what a friend of the family had to say about some beer parties they had 20 years ago about his dad. You know, and that's the way it goes. That's the way his family treats him. And I'm sure some of you can relate to that. And then he said, and then in Matt's words, you know, this is the way Matt is, which is funny to me. I think it's great. He comes in, he says, and then the priest came dancing in his dress and started throwing his smoke all over the place. And then he threw water on his dad's corpse and said, "Everybody goes to heaven through water." And then he said, he gave him an apostolic pardon. You guys, you know what that is? You've heard of that? Say apostolic pardon. And he said, now he's going to go to heaven because I said he will. Isn't that messed up? That's unbelievable. I almost changed my message. That ticks me off. To sit there and listen to these guys lie to these people over and over again, to sit there and have to bite your tongue while you're sitting there, he's talking about my dad. Saying he went to heaven when who knows if he did or not. He doesn't know if he got saved. And he said they were at the hospital. And while he stepped out to use the restroom, the priest showed up to do the last rites, and he said his wife was just laying into the priest. When he came back, his wife was just giving him the what for, and just letting him have it. And she said she was doing a good job. I just let her go at it. You know, I didn't interrupt. Had him in a corner, but he said he was just a slick, you know, sly, subtle. Who is that? It's Satan. It's nothing but Satan. It's unbelievable. And then you go, like yesterday, we went knocking doors and somebody says, "Well, I'm Catholic." It just makes you bristle. Don't you realize what's going on? And they say it so proudly and snubly, you know. You don't get it, do you? Probably never read the Bible a day in their life. It's really sad. So, and then Brother Matt was saying, you know, the people up there that, I don't know if I mentioned this, but while I was up there, I was filling in for Matt, and this guy named Kurt, he's been a real thorn in Matt's flesh up there. He arguing Matt, saying that the way Brother Ruckman writes his book and James Knox wrote his book, he said that they're saying that Christ didn't lay down his life, but that he committed suicide. And so he got into it with, you know, him and Matt went back and forth. And now this guy published an article in the paper in Hinckley about all this. And then he's pinned notes on Matt's door stating that anybody walk up the door see this note saying they preach heresy here. And this guy's supposedly a Christian, and he's attacking the only church in town that's giving out the gospel. When I was there, we got into a heated argument. And I just said, "Why don't you go down to the Kingdom Hall and stand out there and put notes on their door? Why don't you talk bad about those guys? Why don't you go down to the Catholic Church and do the same thing there? They're sending people to hell." I said, yet you choose to pick on a guy who's been to the door, every door in Hinckley, 7 times with the gospel of Jesus Christ and badmouth him. He's no better than that priest. No better than that priest. That's just amazing. That stuff just makes me boil. Unreal. Okay, anyways. I'll try to simmer down here a little bit. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Right? Oh, it ticks you off, doesn't it? And you guys that have, you know, I really feel for the people in here like Brother Duggan and Brother Paul and others who have unsaved relatives who have tried over and Judy, and they have all witnessed their relatives over and over and over again. They want nothing to do with it. Man, that's got to be, you know, it's no wonder we don't carry weapons on our being all the time, you know, really. Yes, sir. Really? The grandkids. Amen. What a blessing that is. Right. Just sad. And then I guess to step back from all that, and when you knock on a door and somebody says they're Catholic, hey, that's somebody's dad. That's somebody's grandpa. That's somebody's, you know, cousin, uncle, whatever. You know, we got to treat them like they're a family member. And we got to have the heart for them. And it's hard to do. You got to step back and have the heart for them that you would for your own family. And give them the gospel and realize, hey, can't just watch the news. It's getting close to the end here. Something's got to give. Are you going to trust that guy in a dress? Or are you going to trust the God of the Bible? They're scared to death of this book. It's really sad. Really sad. But, man, living. And it's really, you know, a lot of the things God asks us to do as Christians goes totally against what we want to do. You know, we want to just grab the guy by the collar and say, don't you get it? You know, and just and scream at them. You know, they'd probably be like, you know, but then they might hear something you got to say, but most of the people just want to shut you off and say it because they're already thinking of what they're going to say, you know, and what the priest has told them to say to you because you're the you know, the heathen, you're the, you know, it's sad. It's really sad. Right? Yeah. He couldn't have put two words together better than that. Long suffering. Just, that's what it is. It's unbelievable. It's just it's like God knows what he's doing, you know. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer here and then we'll look at something here in the Word of God. Lord, I thank you so much for the Word of God. And thank you for salvation. As Paul mentioned, thank you for long suffering. None of us would be here. None of us would be here if you didn't care about us. And I just thank you so much. Bless our time in the Bible this morning. In your name, amen. All right, get this out of the way. Then we'll read. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Okay? This lesson is on how to be a wise guy. Okay? No, I'm not being a smart aleck, not being sarcastic, even though I enjoy being sarcastic. Amen. Thanks. I got one amen today. All right, we're good. I can quit. But a wise man, you know, being a wise guy or wise man, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. I saw the words wise man and I just started looking at it and I'm like, okay, what does God recommend? And I saw the first word, so the wise man will hear. And boy, listening is a lost art today. Too many times you find yourself in a conversation and you're thinking about what you're going to say next instead of really listening to a person. Instead of you're at a door and, okay, what do I say next? Okay, what's the next phrase? What's in my little book of phrases? You know, instead of listening to what the person's saying to you, and being able to hear and listen can make you a more effective witness. This is something I'm learning the hard way. But to sit back and just listen to what the person's saying, and then the Holy Spirit can take what they're saying and lay something on your heart that's going to counteract that, that may speak to their heart. You know, it has to do with being wise. And as I go along in years, I want to be wiser. I don't want to be, you know, I like being sarcastic. It gets a laugh once in a while. It also gets people mad sometimes, but, you know, but being wise. In the days, as we've been talking now, you can tell as wicked as things are getting in the world, we need to be wiser in our speech. We need to be wiser in what we say. And wisdom comes from the Word of God. Wisdom comes from above. And we need to learn. So we're going to go, I'm just going to go through some verses here today and just talk about how to be a wise guy, be a wiser person in the way we walk as Christians. And first of all, you look in, this man has one attribute already in the way he is. He fears God because he's a wise man. He's already a wise man. In Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So for God to say a wise man, this guy's already got that. He's fearing God. And pastors talked about that many times, fearing God. So I'm not going to go into that, but we look at this verse and we see you take the fear of God, you take the ability to hear, and you take the ability to increase learning. And you basically, the Bible talks about a threefold cord. that is not quickly broken. And you take those three things, the fear of God being the core of it all. That's the beginning. That's where it starts. We need to fear God. And then we start adding the hearing aspect. And we'll take a look at some verses here. We're going to spend most of the day in Proverbs, most of the morning here in Proverbs, just looking at a lot of verses and seeing what the Bible says. What are we supposed to hear? You know, what are we supposed to hear that will make us more wise? And a lot of you can fill in the blank. Well, we listen to God's Word. Well, we go listen to preaching. We listen to this. Do we really do that, though? Do we really come here to hear the Word of God preached? Or do we come to visit with friends? Do we come to, you know, just socialize? Or do we come do our duty as a Christian and come to church and go home? But let's take a look at the Word of God and see what He has to say about hearing. First of all, we'll go over to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with me, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." And then turn over to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Okay, so he says, he's telling us, he's commanding us, you need, if you really want to get this wisdom thing down, you need to listen to my sayings. You need to listen to my words. Do we read the Bible in the morning just to read the Bible and get it out of the way? Do we read the Bible just so in case somebody at church asks me, what did you read this week? I mean, do you read it for a purpose? Well, let me show you what I read. You know, I've had the opportunity to share with, you know, a couple guys that say, "Hey, look what I read this morning." Or they'll come up to me and say, "Hey, I want to run this by you." And that's iron sharpening iron. That's helping a brother out. That's saying, well, that takes what I read this morning and putting it on somebody else and saying, "Hey, can you think about this for me for a little bit? What do you get out of this?" And it gets them in the right state of mind to think about the Word of God and to hear the Word of God. He didn't write this for because he had nothing better to do. He gave us a book that he said, you know, it says in the end of John, the book of John, that if everything was written that Jesus Christ did, the world would not be able to contain the books. So he gave us what we could handle. And a friend of mine said he went to Bible college and he had an instructor that had been teaching the Bible for 66 years. And he said, "Brother, I have yet to scratch the surface of this book." That's an amazing book. It's not like your new versions that you can read and just toss to the side. This book is alive. Those are written by men. They're dead. They're dead print. This book is alive. And every time you read it, you can get something new. But you have to hear it. While you're reading it, are you listening to the words? Are you really getting what God wants out of it? Turn over real quick to chapter 28. This is kind of the result of someone who doesn't listen to the words of God or doesn't hear the words of God. 28, chapter 28, verse 9. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Is that where we want to be? No, we're trying to be wise men, trying to be wiser in our walk with Christ. I don't want to pray and have it just hit the ceiling and bounce back down. Abomination means God just takes that as, I don't even want to hear it. Oh, what a position that would be in. You get in a car wreck and all of a sudden your prayer is an abomination. A friend is dying, a close relative, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter is passing away, and now your prayers don't even go past the roof. Because we're not listening to the Word of God. He's turning away your ear from the law. What a terrible place to be in. But he says we need to be a wise person, we need to hear the words of God. Turn over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "My son, attend unto wise unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to mine understanding. Here's Solomon talking to his son, or Christ talking to his children. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Be there, listen, attend, wait on it. Be there for it. My wisdom. There's a lot of people in here that have a lot of wisdom. There's a people in here that are older than me, believe it or not. No, just kidding. There's people here that you can go and talk to that have more wisdom than we do. There's people that I know of, three people right off the bat that I can call if I have a decision I need to make in my life. I know I can call them because they're going to give me good advice. Number one, they're older than I am. They're older than I am. They've been through this already. That's the biggest thing. Number two, they're in the Word of God. They're studying the Word of God, so I can trust where they're at. So those are listening to, number one, they're listening to the Word of God. Number two, they're wiser than I am. Attend unto my wisdom. You come in here, you're listening to a pastor who's been here for 27 years, and he reads the Bible through constantly, and he's studying the Word of God, and he's younger than some of you, but he's in the Word of God, and he's sold out for Christ. Why wouldn't you want to listen to that? Why would you not want to listen to wisdom like that? You have gentlemen in here that are older than us that have been through, and ladies that have been through a lot more than us. They've already lived or gone through certain phases of life that you might be struggling with. Why wouldn't you go attend unto that wisdom? Why wouldn't you go ask questions of those people? You know, so as not only do we hear God's Word, but we need to listen to those that are wiser than us. Turn over, just go down a few more verses in chapter 5 there, and we'll see the result of that. If you don't listen to the wisdom, verse 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and the labors of the house of the, or in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. That's the end result. You get to the end and say, boy, have I wasted my life. What a waste. You know, we've had people in here that have left the teaching of the Word of God and gone to the world thinking, oh, I can find a better answer. Maybe they got answers for me. Maybe I can find something better there. And they come back at the end and say, boy, was that a waste of time. I just wasted my life. I was there, wasted 29 years of my life. I don't want some young person looking at me saying, well, you did it for 30 years, so why can't I? You may not have 30 years. You may not be alive tomorrow, so why do you want to take that chance? So listen to wiser people. You have questions in your life, go find somebody that's in the Word of God and gives a rip and wants to give you some good advice and is active in the church and doing all they can for the Lord. That's somebody you'd want to talk to. That's somebody I'd want to talk to. So let's go on to the next thing here. There's a few of here about hearing. Chapter 8. First one, hearing God's Word, listening to those who are wiser. I better pick up the pace here. We're never going to get out of here. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Same thing. Been talking about that. Pastor up here preaching, teaching. Good preaching tapes, recommended preachers that you can listen to and learn from. Hear instruction and be wise. Don't ever get tired of learning about the Word of God and learning about our wonderful Savior. Don't ever get tired of that. It's a wonderful thing. This book is a wonderful thing. This church is a wonderful place. So don't ever get tired of that. Let's go over to chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Proverbs. And be careful of this instruction. You know, the Bible in Psalm 1, it talks about, you know, blesses the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You better check and see who you're getting counsel from. They, you know, we have a lot of, I have guys at my work that say they're saved, they're Christians, and to see them, to see the way they live and the way they talk and act, do I really want to talk to them about anything? Do I really want to get counsel from this person? You know, you got the people at work that, you know, sometimes we get feeling sorry for ourselves and we want everybody to feel sorry for us too. So we start complaining and whining. And we get in the, I tend to stay away from the break room at work because all they do is complain about the boss, complain about the pay, complain about the contract, complain about working conditions. Why would you want to get advice about anything from them? What a miserable life. You know, I'm going to go back to my desk and I'm going to sit there and read and just be happy. Thank you. And I'll watch dryers and washers spin. Woo-hoo! You know, they don't give me any lip. You know, they're not complaining about anything. They're not complaining about the soap I'm putting in there. Boy, that last load was really nasty. You know, I'm good. Thanks. Sit there listening. You know, the machines whine every once in a while if they get out of balance, but you know, to hear that over the whining in the break room is a lot better. A lot better. Boy, it's just amazing. Nobody's satisfied. Everybody complains, no matter how big the raise, no matter how big the bonus, no how much nicer the new uniforms are. Oh, you know, there's always somebody, it's just not good enough, you know, it's never enough, and that's not going to pay the bills, you know. Really? Well, how big are your bills? Do they just keep getting bigger and bigger? And, you know, unbelievable. So be careful who you get your counsel and who you listen to for instruction. You know, unbelievable. Okay, I'm sorry. This is kind of a rabbit trail. Verse 31 in chapter 15 says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." The reproof of life. Now, you may not go to somebody who's older and wiser than you, but they may come to you and say, "Hey, you need to get something straightened out. You're messing up here. Your kids are tearing this place apart. Maybe you need a little advice on raising your kids. I see your daughter and your son is kind of getting lippy. This happened to me. Let me tell you what you can do in this, what you need to do here. You know, and you may not want it, but maybe God thought you needed it. Maybe he directed that person to come up to you before you lose your kid. Or you lose, maybe your attitude at the job and a real Christian coworker comes up to you and says, "Hey, you need to change something here. Or that doesn't sound, you're not being very Christian-like here. You need to change something." So the reproof of life. You know, and saying it nicely, you don't go up to them and just, "You know, you're not doing that right. You know, our kids are just great. What happened to your kids, you know?" So you go up and say, "Look, you know, we went through the same thing, and here's what you need to do. This is something you need to do in this case. I just thought I'd tell you." And they may not be real happy at the time, and you may not accept it real well, but if you just shut your yap and go home and think about it a little bit, you'll say, "Okay, I needed that." And then you'll sit there and notice, "Yeah, my son is getting a little mouthy and a little lippy. Maybe I need to rack him upside the head here real quick." Or whatever you're told to do. You know, in a loving manner. Okay, so the reproof of life, to be a wise man, hearing. You need to hear. What do you need to hear? God's word. You need to listen to those that are wiser. You need to listen to good instruction. The reproof of life, let's go to chapter 18, next thing. There's a lot less in the increasing learning category, so there's a few more here. Chapter 18, verse 15, says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." Think about that. An ear seeking. Looking around. No. It just, you know, if you're training, if you're reading the Bible and you're listening to good preaching and you're getting good advice, Your ear is going to notice when it's right. It's going to seek out good knowledge. When you hear something good, you say, oh, that's good. When somebody's reading out a version, you're like, oh, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right at all. Where'd you get that? What dumpster did you dig that out of? You know, or somebody at work says, hey, you need to do this right. No, that doesn't sound right. Oh, just forget it. They should have thought about that before. No, it wasn't right. I still got to do this right. You know, it's kind of funny. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to tell that. That'd be a bad light on somebody, and I don't want to do that. So, but ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Somebody that's a wise man feareth God. He's going to see. He's reading, looking the right counsel, getting the right instruction. So when his ear is going to seek good things. And it's going to know when something's not right. Okay? Chapter 19, verse 20. Says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There again, instruction, counsel. You know, who are you looking to? It's blessed is the man that seeketh not the counsel of the ungodly. Who are you getting counsel from? Who are you getting wisdom from? 22:17, last one in the hearing part, 22:17. This kind of goes in contact with chapter 5:1, listening to those who are wiser. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Hear the words of the wise. If you can't find anybody to talk to that's wise, then go to the book. Go to the Word of God and seek counsel. You know, it's kind of funny how sometimes you're in a position in your life where you're kind of distraught or you kind of get discouraged and how am I going to get through this? And you don't go seek somebody out. You know, it doesn't come to your mind to go talk to somebody, which happens. And you come to church that Sunday or that Wednesday night, and that's exactly what he preaches about. What? That's not by accident. God told the pastor, said that this guy needs that. There's somebody out there that needs this. That's not by accident. That's not coincidence. You know, that just doesn't happen. That's an almighty God knowing what his child needs and answering that prayer. So to hear... A wise man will hear. What will he hear? He'll hear God's word. He'll hear wise counsel. He'll listen to the wise. You know, so like Pastor mentions, a lot of times people will come into his office to get counsel, but they only if it lines up with what they want to do. That's not very wise at all. What's ungodly there? What you want to do or what pastor's telling you to do? I don't think the pastor here is going to give you ungodly counsel. So you got to listen to those who are wiser, instruction, reproof of life. Your ear will seek knowledge and counsel and instruction in those that are wiser. So those for a wise man. You want to be a wise guy for the Lord? You want to be a wise man for the Lord? Those are some things that you're going to start hearing or that you need to hear. Now how about increasing learning? Increased learning, it says back in chapter 1, verse 5, that a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So if you're wise in your walk with the Lord, you will do these things. This is what you're supposed to do. This isn't an option. A wise man is going to do these things. Okay, so let's talk about the increased learning part. What are we supposed to be learning about? I mean, what can we learn that's going to help us? Turn over to chapter 9 of Proverbs. Chapter 9. Isn't Proverbs a good book? Unbelievable. Talk about untapped. Heard so many. It's like the prodigal son. I mean, how many messages have you heard on the prodigal son? And they're still preaching them. It's just an untapped wealth of knowledge and wisdom and life learning lessons and all that stuff. It just, Lord just keeps showing new things. It's just what a great book. Chapter 9, verse 9, it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Instruction is somebody that's, a wise man, it fears God. Somebody who fears God is going to do what's right. You know, wisdom and understanding, you know, we talk about that in, you know, Job 28:28. We've heard that verse many times, or fear of God is wisdom. That is wisdom. And to flee evil is understanding. And we see those two words in many verses together. They're like Siamese twins. You can't have one without the other. If you're fleeing evil, you're fearing God. If you're fearing God, you're fleeing evil. You know, they go hand in hand. So here you got, you give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. A wise man's fearing God, he's going to want to flee evil. So he sits in church with his ears perked up, waiting to hear what God has for him that day. It's like, that's what I needed right there. And it makes him that much more, that much wiser. There we go. Instead of that much more wiser. That much wiser in his walk with the Lord. He sits there and listens. He receives it and he applies it to his life. And so increased learning. He wants to learn more about the Lord. And who was that group in the New Testament that they searched the Scriptures? Was it the Bereans? They searched the Scriptures daily to see if what they were telling them was right. So a person leaves here after hearing a good message from the pastor or Brother Dave, and they hear a good message and they'll say, that kind of, you know, pricked me in the heart a little bit. I'm going to go home and check Scripture more on that. Well, I'm going to study that out a little more and get a little more out of it. It'll make him wiser. You just continue to want to serve God and wanting to learn more about Him, so your walk with the Lord is that much better and that much sweeter. So, more instruction. It's not instruction. It's not wasted. Instruction is not wasted. Let's look at another one. Chapter 16, verse 23. We've got a lot more verses to go through, so just bear with me. What more to learn? John 16:23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Boy, I tell you what, James chapter 3 talking about the tongue, it's not a good thing. And so many times, I was just talking to a couple of inmates the other day, and I said, you need, the tongue can no man tame. But I'll tell you what, that thing starts so many fires. That thing gets you in so many troubles. So many things go on when you don't bridle that thing a little bit. And a wise man is going to receive instruction about what he says and about what comes out of his mouth. And he's going to be prudent about it. Excuse me. And he's going to stop and think before he speaks. I don't want to cause any difficulties for somebody. I don't want to cause anybody to get mad at me. Never speak when you're angry. Don't say anything, because more than likely you're going to say something stupid. And you're going to say something that offends somebody, or they're going to get somebody else mad at you, and it's just never going to end. It's best to just keep your mouth shut, step back for a little bit, and sometimes just walk away. You know, but at where I work, it's, no, they gotta go. They're gonna throw down. We gotta fight. That's all. That's the only answer. I gotta knock this guy's block off. Then I win. But no. If a lot of these guys would just, they hear somebody say something. If they were to step back and think about it for a second and teach their lips, don't say that. This is not a good time to say that. This is not a good moment to say that. And then this also goes back to the hearing part. You're listening to conversations. So many times you want to interject and tell a story about yourself. Why don't you just listen and learn? Don't go up to my son after this. It's something I'm trying to teach Jacob right now. Hey, it's fine to just sit there and be quiet and listen. You can listen and have a good time listening to people. It's like going to the state fair and watching people. You ever do that? Boy, is that fun. And you don't have to spend a dime. Well, to get into the gate. But just sit there and watch people. That's funny. I mean, we used to go there as a kid, and some of the comments my dad made was so funny. That was when he used to be able to park on the state fair grounds, and he'd always park by a foot-long hot dog stand. And so we're sitting there one time, we'd been walking around all morning, went and sat in the car, and we're watching people and making comments. And my dad said something, and I was laughing so hard, and my door wasn't latched. And I leaned over like that, I fell right out of the street. So then probably people were laughing at me, you know. But it was just, you know, some of the comments we made, it doesn't hurt to just sit there and listen to people. You don't have to be the center of attention. You don't have to be the best storyteller or have the best story to make somebody look bad or make you elevate somebody, how you look in somebody's eyes. Sometimes it's best just to sit there and be quiet. Teach your lips to be quiet. And you sit there and listen to some of the conversations, and it's kind of funny. You listen to instead of sitting there thinking about what you're going to say next, you're actually listening to what's going on, and you're learning. You say, well, that's pretty funny. You're going to hear things you never heard before because you're not thinking. But anyways, teaching, instruction, and what are you learning? Increased learning on how to control your mouth and what you say. Even when you're out on visitation, knocking on doors, you know, you're tempted to say something. Oh, here it is. Here's the big left hook. But you're thinking about that. And you're not listening to what they're saying. And it could be just something that turns that person on Christianity and they end up going to hell. Because you didn't control your mouth. Instead of doing the big zinger, giving them the right hook, the big haymaker, why don't you just hold off a second? Maybe that's not what they need. Teach your mouth. Keep it shut. Then let's turn over to John 3:30. This one just kind of came to me. I said we're going to be in Proverbs. I lied. John chapter 3. Don't leave because of that. I'm going to have to hurry up here a little bit. John 3:30 says... if I can find it, he must increase, but I must decrease. Quit being so concerned about how you look in people's eyes. How are you representing the Savior? How are you making the Lord look in people's eyes? He must increase. Learn more about Him so you can present Him to people. Not the catchphrase, not what He did for me in per se, but what He can do for them. He's the focus. He's the center. He must increase. We need to learn more about Him. The more we learn about Him, the more we learn about us. Just by learning more about Him, we can see how dirty and filthy we are. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke upon me, on you, and learn of me. This is Jesus talking. Learn about me. It says in Philippians? You know, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You're going to learn that more as you learn of Him, as you listen to instruction of Him. The more you learn about Christ, the more His mind will be in you, the more the Word of God will be a part of your life. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. That he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There again. It just seems like pretty much like it's centered around the Bible, does it not? Increase in the knowledge of God. And you can do that by preaching, reading the Bible, listening to Scripture on a CD, you know, Victor Scurvy, you know, Genesis chapter 1. You know, 1 month, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, and you're like, but you listen to that stuff and you're driving on the road and all of a sudden, ooh, I never heard that before. And you just increased in the knowledge of God. It's amazing. You talking to Brother John the other night, and you know, you catch a phrase in the Bible, two words or one word that sticks out to you. Ooh, what does that mean? You start looking it up, and you're increasing in the knowledge of God. And you're getting the mind of Christ, and you don't realize all that's going on when you're doing that. And God's sitting there, keep going. And you know, and you just keep going. This is good. You're in the right path. You're doing good. And it's funny how sometimes when you're studying something out and somebody at work will come up, hey, have you ever had a problem with this? And it's just what you're studying. Hey, I just read that this morning. How many times did I just read about this morning? And just like I'd read Jeremiah 33:3, you know, call on me and I will answer you and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. These guys that just got saved at the workhouse, they don't know what they've tapped into here. The God of the universe. Was it Ephesians 3:20? On him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What's the biggest thing you can think of? What's the biggest thing you could think to ask for? What's the biggest thing? He's going to do exceeding abundantly above that. That's what you're tapped into now. You've accepted Christ and now you have that in your corner. What a great thing. And they just sit there and they're like, wow. And I'm like, wow. I don't realize that a lot of times, being a Christian for 20 plus years, and here I am still learning. That's learning about my great God and how wonderful He is and what all He wants to do for me. All right, so now you take the word, so we learn a wise man will hear, and we learn some of the things we're supposed to hear. A wise man will increase learning, and we learn what we're supposed to increase, you know, what we're supposed to learn more about. But so now I took the words wise man and looked up verses, and it kind of got a list of attributes of a wise man, and you'll see that by hearing and increasing learning, you're going to get to this in your life. These are goals. These are things that are going to start happening to you and myself as we start to become wiser in our walk with Christ. So these are mostly in Proverbs. There's two in Ecclesiastes. So let's go to Matthew. I just got done saying that, didn't I? Proverbs. Proverbs 9. Proverbs chapter 9. These are all attributes of a wise man. Chapter 9, verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. A wise man will take rebuke. He accepts correction positively. You know, if the boss comes up to you at work and says, you need to increase your production, you need to do this better, you're not doing it by the book, you know, and you're just like, and inside the flesh is like, I'd like to increase your learning real quick. But you become a wiser Christian, a wiser man, you're going to accept that and say, yeah, I want to be the best I can because it's not about me. I represent something bigger than myself. I'm representing the name of Jesus Christ. So you take a rebuke and say, yeah, I was wrong. You're right. Even if you feel you're in the right, you just say, it'll come back. I've had that happen where they come and just reamed me out, and then a couple days later I come out and say, hey, I messed up, I'm sorry, that wasn't you. Okay, no big deal. But if you accept it positively, it's just like, it's not going to bother you. Just accept it and correct it. 9:9, same chapter, next verse, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, we read this one earlier. He listens to instruction. He doesn't just listen, he implies it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. He takes instruction and says, that can help me be a better Christian. I can be a wiser man because of that. Chapter 14, chapter 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. You just become a little smarter in how you step into things. You know, you get these, you know, you get maybe you're debt free. Maybe you just got out of debt or something and you paid off all your debts and you get that little thing in the mail saying, "Hey, 0% interest." You know, you get the credit card thing. You know, you get 42 of them every day in the mail. And you're like, "Well, you know, if I just buy one thing and then pay it off in a month, I'll be..." No. You've learned your lesson. Made you wiser now, and you take that thing and rip it in half and throw it in the trash. I don't want to get there again. I don't want to do that again. That's messed up. You listen to instruction. You say, no matter how it is, if it's instruction that you experience personally or it's something you heard, you take it and you apply it to your life. You're being a wiser person because of it. And you fear it. You fear it and you depart. You get out of there. You say, "I don't want anything to do with it." You forsake it, put it aside, and you go on. And that the part of that, you know, the wise man, we mentioned it earlier, one of the main aspects, obviously, is fearing God. Is this going to get me in trouble with God? Is this going to put a wall or a wedge between me and my Lord? Am I going to be able to communicate with Him if I do this? You know, no. If the answer is no, then you walk away. You fear. Chapter 16, next thing, attributes of a wiser man. We have accepts correction positively. He listens to instruction and applies it. He feareth and departeth from evil. And chapter 16, verse 14, the wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. You know, that's really an interesting thing. This guy knows, he's listened over the years. He's heard things. He's increased learning. And over the years, he's learned how to take care of certain situations. "Hey, the boss is in a bad mood today. He's talking about doing this and doing this." And it's like, "Well, just give it time. He probably had a bad morning. Maybe he got some bad news this morning. Maybe there's something going on that we don't know about." And maybe that you walk in and say, "Hey, is there something you need help with? Is there a problem? You want to talk about something?" That may be just what he needs to hear to pacify the wrath so he doesn't do something stupid. You know, hearing and learning, being a wise person, not, you know, just acting like that and doing something just off the cuff, stepping back, being prudent. The Bible talks about that a lot too, being prudent. Stepping back and saying, what's going to be the result if I act like this? Okay, quickly move on. Chapter 21, Proverbs 21, verse 22. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. You know, this one I had to think about for a little while. This is kind of an interesting one. But this is, I wrote down, it says, this is the man with the plan. He's got an answer. You know, you think of Daniel. And they didn't interpret that dream properly. He was going to kill, they're going to kill all the magicians. They're going to kill all the astrologers and all the people in the land because they couldn't tell him what he dreamt about. Which we look at and say, well, how would anybody know that? But Daniel was wise. He'd been hearing over the... He'd dealt with so many kings now. He's like, okay, I've dealt with so many kings. I know how they react. I know how they act. But God's always come through with the answer. So, just give me... He goes to the king and says, "Hey, check. Hold on a second here." He goes, "You got to give me some time, and I will tell you the meaning. I'll tell you what you dreamt and the meaning of it. You just got to give me a day." King's like, "Okay, I won't kill everybody." So he goes back and he took down everything. You know, the king had all the power, he had all the might to kill everybody in the land. But Daniel went in there with just the right kind of wisdom and the right kind of knowledge, and he tore that down. He tore all the power that the king had, he took it back. He knows how the enemy works. Just like in our lives, we the devil, he's crafty, he's subtle, he's sly in everything he does, and he weasels his way in. But if you seek out wise counsel and you hear wise things and you look into the Word of God, you're going to know this and you're going to be able to tear that down. You're going to tear down this is just an attack from the devil. And it has all the attributes. And a wise man's going to know that. He's going to know how the devil works. And you're going to be able to tear that way, the way he works down, so he won't be able to hurt you as a Christian. You're going to be able to go to a wise person and say, hey, I'm having this trouble in my life. This is, you bear your fault one to another and you say, look, I'm having trouble in this area in my life. Have you ever dealt? You bet, I have. And here's what I did. This is what I did. I scaled the wall and I took away what the devil was throwing at me. And you can do the same. So you don't get hurt as a Christian. He's got the man of the plan. He's crafty. He knows how the devil works. He knows what he can do to help you out. Okay, turn over to 24. Just a couple more real quick. Chapter 24, verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. He's strong. He's strong in the Lord. A wise man, according to the Bible, he knows God. He knows the answers. He knows the Word of God. He's got answers. He's strong. These are the kind of people the devil really goes after, because he really wants these to fall. But these are people you can go to, and they got a solid foundation. They're strong. They're strong in the Lord. Wise man. He's been hearing the Lord. He's been hearing for years and years. And he's been increasing his learning for years and years. This guy is strong. Wise man is strong. And he's strong through knowledge of our Lord. Just going to read off a couple here real quick, and then we'll close it out. Ecclesiastes 8:5, a wise man, a discerner of both time and judgment. And Ecclesiastes 10:12, his words are gracious. Ecclesiastes 10:12, his words are gracious. A wise man's not going to come up and just go off the handle on you. A wise man, if you're really seeking counsel and listening, you're going to walk up to somebody to get advice, and if this man is a wise man, he's going to sit there and listen to what you're saying. He's not already thinking of an answer. He's listening to what you're saying. And then he's going to ask questions. And he's not going to look down on you. He's not going to give you a judgmental look. He's not going to look down on you and say, oh, you're having trouble with that. I've never had trouble with that. He's not. He's gracious. He understands. He feels your pain. It's like, wow, this is really hurting you. This is really bothering you. Let me show you what the Bible says. Or I went through something similar to that. Let me show you something that really helped me. Gracious. He's not saying, what are you going to do for me? He's not looking for anything in return. He's not looking for anything. He's like saying, God did this for me. I want to do this for you. He's gracious about it. God gave me this wisdom. I want to pass it on to you. He's gracious, a wise man. So a wise man will hear, and a wise man will increase instruction. You're already fearing God, but if you want to become wiser in the Lord, you could take this a step. I may be stepping out of bounds, but wise in the world. Hey, watch the news. See what a mess this world is in. So you can have answers for people who are asking, hey, I saw this is happening in the news. What's going on? Oh, well, the Bible talks about that. And take it and turn it right to the Word of God. And give that person some wisdom from the Lord. But let's all strive. I'm striving every day to try and become a wiser person, a wiser man of the Lord, to have answers for people. All those that ask of the wisdom that lieth within you. Having answers and being wiser in the Lord. Not being so quick to fly off the handle on people. and not being so quick to make a judgment call and say something stupid. I want to be a wiser person, and I hope you do too. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to speak about your word. And Lord, I pray now that you'd be with Brother Dave as he comes to preach the morning service. Lord, fill him with your wisdom and the spirit and just preach the truth. Be with Pastor as he's away today. I pray that you'd guide him as he's preaching down in Texas and bring him back to us safely. We sure miss him when he's gone. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us the rest of this morning. Help us to strive to be wiser in our walk with you each and every day. In your name, amen.